Amen. And the good news is Brent, your grandson's recovered. Or he's doing well. He's doing very well. So hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Good morning. How are we doing? Good? Good? Very much great. Love it. Love it. Good to hear. Okay, let's open in prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness. We just heard about your faithfulness to us and how you, it is your responsibility, Lord. Our lives are your responsibility. We trust you. Thank you for carrying us. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for building us and equipping us and empowering us and putting us into the ministry, Lord, where we can serve and we can love people and we can lift you up in your name. Amen. Man, okay, open with me to Ephesians chapter 6 as we continue our series on the armor. The armor. We have a few pieces left. We have today, we have the shield of faith. Next week, the helmet of salvation. The following week, the sword of the Spirit. And then the following week is prayer, which I account as one of the pieces of armor that we have from God. So we're getting there. We got a few weeks left. I'm enjoying this study, and I appreciate everybody being here with me. It's so much more fun when I come, I prepare, and I preach a message when there's people here. Really. Just it adds a lot to the time. We were laughing a couple weeks ago with COVID. We had, for a few weeks, it was just like two of us in here, right? We'd have the sound booth. I couldn't even see them because they were below the computer screens, and Sal with his guitar. And that was pretty much it, right? And the little camera. And I said, Lord, please. And I think God really blessed that time. I said, Lord, I don't know how this is going to come across, but I pray that it could be, it could, people could experience the same presence through the airwaves. And I don't know. I never watched it, but I believe from what I heard, people enjoyed it, and God carried us through. Remember that? We had a few services, and then we said, okay, we got to be together. This is ridiculous. So we were outside, out here in the parking lot for a few weeks. We had about 15, 16 cars be packed in here. One week, I preached in the back of a pickup truck, and Pastor Van Doren called me on Monday morning and said, get out of the pickup. You don't need the truck. Get out of the truck. I said, okay, thank you. And then we had a few more times out here. And then I said, what are we doing? We're supposed to be together. So we opened the doors, right? We had the chairs spaced out, and we did the things and all that, but we had worship. And I remember the first service we had in here together. It was incredible. And it was maybe, I don't know the timing, but maybe 6 weeks or something. We were finally, and people were in tears and worship. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And I'm so thankful for the church and that we just continued to do what we're called to do. And I think God has blessed us because of it. So here we are. Oh, I'm in the book of Judges. I told you to turn to Ephesians. Maybe we'll get there eventually. But Ephesians chapter 6, we've been speaking about this armor. We spoke about, where did we start? The belt of truth, right? The necessity of truth. That without truth, none of this has bearing. That it doesn't stand on its own, but it is true. Truth is so necessary in our life. Not subjective truth, but objective truth. Truth, in the definition of truth, that's not changing, that's not wavering, that is not adapting, and it is not it's not adapting to culture. Cultural relativism. There we go. Relativism, right? That as culture does its thing, does truth need to bend to culture? God help us, no. All right, please, no. That there would be one thing that stands, not based on everything else, but by itself. And that's the kind of truth that we're talking about. That God is, that God cares for us, that God loves us, that God has saved us, and that God will carry us home. This is true, right? We're unique, aren't we? Turn to your neighbor and say, man, you're unique. Right? Yeah. In a good way. Don't be mean about it. Don't be mean about it. You are so unique. Thank God for it. Thank God. We need it, don't we? And why are we so unique? Because God made us that way. And that is beautiful. That is beautiful. We celebrate what God has done, what God has given. Truth. Then we spoke about righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, and how it covers us and it protects our vital organs from something harmful. Righteousness. How were we made righteous? We're made righteous by putting our faith in Christ. And that's what it is. And we wear this breastplate of righteousness as a statement to the world, saying, this is who is covering me. This is what my righteousness is based in. It's based in Christ. And then also as a reminder to ourselves that we are safe. There is a song, I am safe in the wonderful arms of God. You know that song? Oh, man, if I could sing, I'd sing it to you. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. Hallelujah. There it is. We are. Not based on our own righteousness, thank God. Because Isaiah says that your righteousness is your best. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. And I was here yesterday. I walked up by the dumpster. There's a towel laying at the side of the dumpster there. I don't know. You could go observe it later if you want. But I thought, man, that's a filthy towel. Right? I would not want to touch that thing. Our best, the best that we can do, our righteousness is like that towel. Maybe worse, actually, if you read about it. It's worse. And God says, I don't need it, but instead I will give you my righteousness. And His righteousness is our protection. And then last week we spoke about the gospel shoes, having your feet shod. Did anybody try to work that into your vocabulary this week? Have you shod your feet? No, I didn't either. Forgot. I told you I was going to do it, but I didn't. Right? We have bound our feet, or we have wrapped our feet up in something that is prepared, in a message that is prepared, in a message that is powerful, and that's the gospel. And we make contact with the world that we live in with the gospel. Right? So that was our last week. And this week we're going to speak about the shield of faith. So Ephesians 6:16 says this: above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Whoa, there's a lot in there, isn't there? Taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to. Isn't that encouraging? You will be able to. There is no percentages there. There is no possibility there, but there is only truth. That you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So what I'd like to do this morning is that we're actually going to start at the end of the verse and work backwards up to the beginning. Does that sound interesting? Okay. If it's not making sense, just say, hold on, time out, confused. Right. We're all there, don't worry. No, I think it'll be good. So we'll start with this wicked one. We were on evangelism yesterday, and had a great time. I was walking with John and Dexter, and we were just walking along Main Street and talking to each other, and then talking to whoever we could come across. We prayed with quite a few people. We didn't pay anybody anything, but then we went down to the Recovery Connection. We met with Victor, and we talked to some people there, and it was a great time. But we were just talking about this. I forgot what I was going to say. The wicked one. Yeah, the wicked one. Wow. Get lost in my own stories. I'm lost. I'm confused, right? The wicked one. That there is an adversary in the world. Right? That there is. Oh, that's it. That we were, as we were walking along, giving the gospel to people, and we were saying, this gospel is so glorious. This message is so good. But its greatness and its glory is also understood in contrast to the wickedness of the devil. Right? That the good news is good. Good news is good. Hallelujah. But good news is even greater in contrast to bad news. Right? And this wicked one is real. Right? He is the wicked one. The word for wicked here is poneros in the Greek. There are two different words for evil in the Greek. There is poneros that is used here, and then kakos is the other one. This word kakos is an evil that is isolated and that it is content almost. And that it is evil, but it is over there and it is whatever. It's not bothering. But this word poneros is infectious evil. That it is not content on its own. But instead, it is looking, and we read this in 1 Peter 5:8, that we have an adversary. He is like a roaring lion, and he is seeking whom he may devour. And that word, that verse also brings out that he is always seeking and he is always devouring. Why? Because he's not content to just be evil on his own, but instead he's malignant. And he wants to infect other people, and he wants to bring them down with him. All right, this wicked one. The wicked one we know as the devil. The wicked one is launching fiery darts at us. Have you ever seen a fiery dart fly by? Hope not. Maybe. There is a lot about these fiery darts. First of all, we can see that they are coming from someone. And we are coming from someone. We just kind of quickly gave a character sketch of the one who is launching fiery darts at us. That he is evil. That his evil is infectious, that he is not content to be alone, but instead he is looking at whom he may devour. And with that, he is launching these darts at us. I read a little bit about these darts. There's a lot of different ideas as to what they are, and we can play with that also. One idea is that there's a hollow, it's a hollow reed, and they fill it with some combustible thing, light it on fire, and then launch it into the crowd. And then it is a fiery dart. Another one is an arrow. Maybe we're familiar with this picture. An arrow wrapped with some pitch and some fabric or something and ignited and then shot at the enemy. The idea is that it would then stick to you, right? And the wound is there, yes, but then also the flame would catch. Another way is that they say that they would take the tip of the dart, and they would dip it in some kind of poison from an asp or from a viper. And we know this happens, this still maybe is, we understand in the frogs down in South America, down in the Amazon, right? Are you familiar with these? So, yeah, a little bit. They take a bit of the poison from the frog, they dip the dart in it, and then it is like highly poisonous. And maybe the wound isn't that great, but it doesn't take much. And that this poison would get into the bloodstream and it would ignite and it would burn and you would feel like you are burning from the inside out. Right? So this is one idea also that they are launching these types of arrows. If we apply, okay, has anybody ever been in that position physically where somebody is launching poisonous darts at you? Right? Besides Sal and the Amazon. No. No. Right? Is it Alessandra launching darts? No. Yes. I've seen the looks sometimes. Well-deserved looks launching darts. No. But we haven't confronted this type of warfare, but spiritually we have. And this is what it is talking about here, that the devil is launching these fiery darts at us. What are the darts aimed at? They are aimed at something that is combustible, right? Or something that is susceptible to the poison. Right? So the arrow is shot, and it is an attempt to break through whatever barrier there is and get to the person. The devil also is launching these things at us. We know we have the breastplate of righteousness. We know that we are saved. We know that we are redeemed. But that doesn't stop the devil from it launching his attacks. But actually, he would love to send some kind of projection or some kind of idea that would ignite my thinking in a negative way. I was thinking about these things. We have lust, we have desires, we have passions, we have pride, we have self-righteousness. We have all of these ways of operating, and the devil knows them, and he launches these darts at him with precision, and he says, that is something that is combustible, and if I can get to it, then it will ignite. And James says that these things are ignited with a fire from hell. We go easily through our thinking. Have you noticed thinking is wild? It's like you could be looking at someone, and they're just staring at a wall. But really their mind is like woo, woo, like flying, right? How much do we think? How many words do we have that we say to ourselves? The self-talk. that we can go and 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 go, right? And we talk to ourselves constantly. A lot of times this self-talk is negative. And isn't it that the devil would love to get that, whatever is spinning, that he would love to speed it up. And he would love to get me into a pattern of thinking that is in condemnation, that is in shame, that is in guilt. Have you ever been walking down the road and all of a sudden you hear a song and you haven't heard that song in like decades, but you hear it and immediately it brings your mind right back to something? Or you smell something or you see something and you say, oh my gosh, I tried to forget about that time. Could this be like a fiery dart? I'm not saying every song and smell is a fiery dart. You walk by and you smell a batch of brownies and it brings you down a rabbit hole of thinking. Okay. Right? Be like, forgive me, Lord, I ate a whole pan of brownies in 15 minutes. But I'm saying that it is possible that the devil would love to instigate this type of thinking. And that this type of thinking is not like harmless. There we go. It's not harmless. We can say, well, I'm just thinking about something. It's harmless. It's not affecting other people. But the problem is that the more I think about it, it becomes the way I think. And when it becomes the way I think, it becomes the way I communicate. When it becomes the way I communicate, it becomes the way I act. Right? There is a progression that happens there. So, these darts, right? They are coming. Right? There was another one I read about. I couldn't find the paper. I printed it and I couldn't find it anywhere. All right, maybe I made an airplane out of it. But there was a form of arrow that they made, and it had a lead head, and then they filled it with some kind of combustible, and they shot it with such velocity that while it was traveling, it actually ignited. And I thought, wow, that's fascinating. Right? That is fascinating. So Paul is describing here the most modern warfare. Like the high, maybe now we would say some kind of missile, some kind of drone attack, right? Pastor Van Doren could tell us, working at Raytheon, I'm sure he knows all kinds of these things, right? The things that have been developed, the things that are used in warfare, and the missiles and the way they are launched and how they go, all this kind of stuff. Paul is describing the most modern warfare at his point. Right? But all of these attempts, all of these darts, all of these arrows, it says all of them cannot overcome something. So it talks about this shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts. So all of these darts, whatever form they take, something that's igniting through the air, something that's ignited and then shot, something that's full of poison, whatever it is, whatever attempt the devil makes at you, whatever it is, you have an answer for every single one of them. There isn't anything in the armory of the devil that has ever been able to overcome this shield of faith. This shield of faith, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts. The shield. The shield is described. It is huge. I wanted to build a replica, but then I thought midnight on a Saturday night is not a good time to start bringing out the table saw and the miter saw and the nail guns and start building a replica shield. I thought the neighbors might be a little concerned. But this shield is humongous. We have. I wanted to have like a model of armor up here, and they said, "Oh, the cantata. We have Roman armor in the cantata." No, it's too small. Like the little shields that we see, like the little round shields, right? But this one is huge. It is 2.5 feet wide, and it is 4.5 feet tall. It is a monstrosity. It is big enough for a man to hide behind, and to hide his entire being behind. It's not some little thing that I am choosing or deciding what to defend myself against, but it is something that is able to cover me completely. It would be made of wood, right? The sublayer would be wood. And then, depending on what you read, there's so many versions of it. But and then there would be layers of raw ox hide covering it. And then a band of brass would go all the way around the edge. And that band of brass would be, so if you were in close combat and a sword were to strike, then it would not chop the shield in half, right? But it would be deflected. And then each layer of hide was protected and treated and anointed, they said, with oil to keep it fresh, but then also to give it a resiliency so that something would not plunge into it, but instead would bounce off of it. Or even, like it says here, would be able to quench the fiery darts. So that when this thing comes at you with velocity and aiming at something combustible, you hide behind something that is able to put it out. Right? That we need that. I cannot overcome. I cannot protect myself enough. But when I hide behind something that God has equipped me with, then I am able. And those things hit, and quenched, right? Isn't that a great sound? Like a fiery dart is flying. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. And then you just hear, a little puff of smoke comes up. You're like, whew, that one gone. As I read, there was a story, a legend. I'm not sure. I can't remember the guy's name or the war that he was in. But this shield also is the word, the Greek word is similar to door. That it is the shape of a door, and it has great size to it, and also a great application that it is the passage to your soul, right? Like if this door is open, then there is things that can come in. If it is closed, and you are equipped with it, you have it on, then those things can't come in. And there was a story of a guy who in a fight, and he had 220 arrows stuck in his shield. Isn't that incredible? How many people feel that way? You're like, that's nothing. That ain't 220, that's nothing. I have arrows sticking on the shield from every direction. I can't even count them anymore. All of them are quenched by this shield of faith. It is big enough for us to stand behind, and it is strong enough to resist the most ferocious attack. It is this shield of faith. In the very beginning of the verse, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, above all. What does that mean? Does that mean that it is, that we put it in importance over the others? No, because we read earlier that we put on the whole armor of God, that all of them work together, all of them are. But actually, it means over everything. That this shield of faith actually covers all the other pieces of armor that we have discussed so far. That my righteousness is defended by faith. My the gospel and my ability to go out into the world with a difference is guarded by faith. Truth that I have bound around my waist, holding everything together and supporting me, is also defended by faith. That some of these things don't make sense to us. Like I'm talking about living in a world that we live by truth, not relative but absolute. That we believe in truth. We believe that truth helps us and truth gives us a stability in the world we live in. But also sometimes we say, Lord, I don't know, it doesn't make any sense. I'm not seeing it add up. But by faith, I will trust in you. And when I stand by faith in the truth that God has established, then I find it there. Faith is a beautiful thing. And the Bible talks about faith in many ways. There is our faith, that we talk about our faith, meaning what we believe in. The faith, the Christian faith, is our faith. That's not what we're talking about here, but although that is amazing. There is saving faith. Ephesians chapter 2, you are saved by grace through faith. This is the moment in the putting our faith in Christ, trusting in Him, and by trusting in Him, then we are saved. Saving faith. But then also there is the faith that we live by. It says in three places in the New Testament, Romans 1 to Galatians 3 and Hebrews 10, it says, the just shall live by faith. And this covers all of these contexts, right? Meaning, the justified one is justified by faith. Hallelujah. My salvation is by faith. But also, the way that I live, the way that I operate, how I interact with the world, how I see things is by faith. Faith. We are talking about things that we can't see, right? Isn't it amazing to think about? You ever read the Bible and you ever think about these things like angels and demons and faith and the Holy Spirit coming and living in us, dwelling in us, miracles that happen, prayers that are answered. We don't see them all the time. We don't. But do we believe them? We do. We do. We do. How? By faith. Right? By faith. Watchman Nee talks about faith this way, that faith is what gives us the ability to substantiate something. Right? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Right? How could I have evidence of something that's not seen? By faith. By faith. And he said we substantiate things but if I look at a painting, all right, okay, let's look at the Mexican flag right there, the first one in line. Beautiful flag. Right? I can understand the colors. How do I know the colors? Red, white, and green. Is that right? Red, white, and green? Are you with me? Can I get an amen? Okay. Agreement? They're red. Well, how do I know that? Because I can see them. Because I can see red, I can see white, and I can see green. And with my eyes, I substantiate that. But if someone were to be blind, and I say, look at the Mexican flag over there, and they say, excuse me? And they look at the Mexican flag, what are you talking about? What is it? I say, it's red, white, and green. They say, what's red? They say, red's red. How do I substantiate what red is? By the tools that God has given me to see it and understand that it's red, right? Faith is how we substantiate these things that God speaks to us. Right? Because it's not going to be sight sometimes. And you say, Lord, I don't see what you're doing. I don't understand why you're doing it. But by faith, I believe that you're doing it. And I'm going to take a step based on in the reality of that faith. Or I'm going to stand behind this giant shield of faith and understand that there I am safe and I am protected. We substantiate these things by faith. How do I substantiate God's love for me? By faith. By faith. I put my faith in the cross. I believe that He died on the cross for me. I believe that He overcame death for me. I believe it by faith. So that's why we say that's what it is, above all. Above all. Right? Take this thing. Because above it will cover all of these things, and it is something that we can hide behind, and that it will shelter us. So Roman soldiers, when they were marching, or when they were going, okay, let's say they're going up against the city, it was important that everybody was together in this, and they all had their shields. I think it's called like the tortoise formation or something like that, right? Which makes sense because a tortoise is what? Giant turtle, right? And what does it have on its back? A humongous shell, right? What does it do when it feels in danger or in trouble? Just shuts it down. It's in its little candy shell. You can't get in there, right? So the Roman soldiers were this way. They were coming up against the city, and over the walls, they're launching these fiery darts, and they're raining down on them. What do? Right? Everybody, there's the front, there's the top, there's the back, there's the sides. Right? Everybody takes their place, and they are able to move where? Forward. Forward. Advancing. Advancing against. Advancing into territory that they are taking. I think this is a good picture for us as the body of Christ. That this shield is for a movement forward. We are not going backwards. We are not receding into like out of the margins and into the sidelines, but instead we find ourselves as the church, as the body of Christ, marching down the road, in the middle of the road, to the center of the city, saying we are coming with light, we are coming with the gospel, and we are shielded by faith, and everything that you launch at me, everything that you fire at me, will be quenched. We are moving together. There's no hole in the canopy. Right, we are together, linked in, arm in arm. And like, amazing. Imagine the picture of being underneath that little turtle shell, or giant turtle shell, whatever. And you were there and just... You just hear the arrows raining down on you. And you look over and you say, how you doing? Doing all right? Yeah, I'm doing good. Thank you for being here. Otherwise, that would be a hole and I would be hit. Right? Isn't that beautiful? We need each other. You are necessary to this thing, to the church being the church. We need each other. Your faith protects me. My faith protects you. This is the way it goes. There are gifts of faith in the body of Christ, and I want to see your faith in action. Because it could be that I'm thinking about leaving my shield at home. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to carry that thing around. But then I see my brother, I see my sister carrying their shield, and we are connected, and there we have great safety. And I say, oh man, I want to hold up this shield of faith. I want to stand behind it. It's amazing. I'm telling you, I'm not to scare or anything, but I have seen when people have put the shield down and walked away from the body of Christ, what has happened to their faith. It could be gone in a minute. You can think, no, I'm good. I mean, look at the size of this Bible. You think I'm going to be hit by something? I know it. I got it all in there. Look at it. I can walk around like this. I'm good, right? No, we need each other, and we need faith. We spoke yesterday, Dexter and I were talking to a woman. She said, I've studied all this stuff. I know it. I got it. But I've not put my faith in it. And I said, okay, there is no benefit to my faith if I don't put it on. And I started to explain. I said, look at that table. We're in the park. I said, do you see that table? She said, yes. I said, okay, imagine Thanksgiving dinner at the table. And you have studied, you have analyzed the table. You know everything about it, the turkey, the potatoes, the sweet potatoes with the little marshmallows on them. Like, you got the whole meal is there. You've studied it. You've analyzed it. It has no benefit to you until you sit down, put it on your plate, and eat it, right? That's it. Like, that's what faith is. That all of that stuff is there. And I think that's all very nice. That's all right and nice. But I'm good. But I want to find my seat at the table and eat it up and allow it to come in and feed my soul. And that it would, that I would benefit from this faith. I would benefit from this righteousness. I would benefit from this gospel. I would benefit from truth. I would benefit from it because I've made it my own by faith. By faith. We need it. Okay. We need each other in it. There's great safety in the body of Christ. There is. My faith could be sidelined quickly. A fiery dart comes in. Boom. And I start thinking, what is the devil's favorite little introduction? He used it with Eve in Genesis chapter 3. Has God said? And all of a sudden I start thinking and be like, yeah, has he really said? I don't know if that's true. I'm going to be a little more critical of this. And then I find myself walking away from the Bible a little bit. And then I find myself allowing truth to be a little more subjective. And then there I find myself sidelined and my faith is wrecked. I'm not saying I lose my salvation. I'm just saying the benefit of my faith is not there. I don't have the peace. I don't have the joy. I don't have the fellowship in the body of Christ. But by faith, I want to substantiate these things by faith. And how does that look? What does it look like for us? I think Hebrews chapter 11 is written to us for this reason. Like Paul, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, and you know my opinion on it, but whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, he is writing it, and he is talking about all of this stuff, and he is talking about the sacrifice, and he's talking about the priesthood. Christ is better, a better sacrifice, a better priest. He is a better tabernacle, all of this stuff. He's talking about all of it. But then he gets to Hebrews chapter 11, and he says, now let me tell you what it looks like. Now let me tell you that it is a sustainable life. That it is a way that we can approach this world. It's a way that we can operate in it, and it is effective. And he goes through person after person. He starts, where does he start? With Abel. In verse 4, he says, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Through faith, he obtained witness. Isn't that beautiful? Through faith, he obtained witness, meaning he knew it. He knew it. He had an answer from God that he was righteous. Why? Because he offered something by faith. Enoch was the next one, the next example. In verse 5, how many people know what Enoch did? All it says is that Enoch walked with God. That's it. And then what? And then he wasn't. That's it. Isn't that a crazy story? Enoch walked with God, and I heard one preacher from India. He said, Enoch walked with God for so long that God said, okay, Enoch, you're closer to my house than you are to your house. Just come this way. And he didn't go that way. He just kept going with God. And I like that, right? Enoch walked with God, and then he wasn't. But look at what he had. He had a testimony. Enoch had a testimony. And what was it? That he pleased God. How do I know that I have pleased God? By faith. Not by works. Not by production. But by faith. If I have trusted in him, I have pleased him. What is it that pleases God? I'm sure he loves it when we gather. He loves it when we pray. He loves it when we read our Bibles. It says in Malachi 3 that he makes a note. He writes down every time that we get together when we speak his name. Isn't that beautiful? He like, keeps a ledger. Why? Because he loves it. He loves it when his saints get together. But the most pleasing thing to God is that I would live by his grace. And that I would put my faith in him. That is it. If you put your faith in God, guess what? You have a testimony that you have pleased God. And you can say, yeah, but I did. No. That stuff was taken care of. Anytime in your mind you have this thought, yeah, but I, just remember, yeah, but he died on the cross, right? He overcame sin. He overcame death. So it would no longer be a conversation between you and him. Isn't that beautiful? We confess our sins. Yes, we repent. But that means that we are immediately back in fellowship with God. And the sin issue is no longer a problem. Isn't that beautiful? How many times do we put things in the middle of a relationship and like everything revolves around that, right? Everything revolves around that. Like whatever it is, there's a fight, there's something, right? The jar of pickles. Your wife says, can you open this jar of pickles? She says, you open the jar of pickles. Huh? Oh, my goodness, right? And then all of a sudden, the jar of pickles becomes a problem, right? Like, we have a cookout. I'm not even putting out pickles. I'm not even bringing it up again. Don't even want to go there, right? And it becomes this thing that I revolve around. How about with God? Do I want that with God? That there's like some figurative jar of pickles between my relationship with God. And I come and I'm like, whoa, 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 I'm not talking about that. Let's go over here. How about we sing another song, Lord? Right? No, sin. Christ came to the cross to remove the sin so that it would no longer be the center of my relationship with him and that I would be free to relate to him without it. How does that become a reality in my life? By faith. And when I believe that and I put my faith in that reality, it pleases God. Why? Because he died on the cross for us. Not so that we could be little automatons that did what he wanted, but so that we could be in fellowship with him and that we would know that we are forgiven and that we would walk with him in the land of the living. That's what it is. Stand behind that reality. When all of hell is coming at you, all the fiery darts, you look up at the horizon and it's just like a streak of fire. You're like, that's all coming at me? Ah! Hide behind the shield of faith and allow your faith in the work of Christ to quench every single one of those darts because it can. None of them have ever penetrated Christ. Imagine that. I know, the timer. I'm getting it. It's in my warning bell. When Christ rose from the grave, okay, this is good. When Christ was on earth before the cross, what happened? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they were insecure around him, and what? They wanted to kill him, didn't they? They chased him. There were multiple times where he just kind of disappeared out of their presence because they wanted to throw him off a cliff, right? And he was constantly pursued, and then finally caught in the garden. And then before Pilate, he was embarrassed, he was ashamed, all of that stuff. All of this is directed at Christ. And if you read all the way back, there is a demonic approach to Christ all the way through the Gospels. It's wild. It's wild. But then, after the resurrection, you see Christ is completely free. Pilate doesn't send anything. Herod doesn't send anybody. The scribes and the Pharisees don't try to catch him. But for 40 days, he is appearing here and there. And there isn't a demon, there isn't a person, there isn't a government, there isn't a magistrate who is trying to do anything against him. Why? Because it had all been overcome. And there wasn't a single thing that could threaten him. We are that way in Christ. Romans 8:37 says that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Stand behind that reality, and it is the thing that defends you from the fiery darts of the devil. The fiery dart of condemnation. The fiery dart of a past memory. The fiery dart of a past conversation. The fiery dart of past actions. Whatever it might be. Just like pumping at you. You're like, ah, ha, ha. What do? Hide behind the shield of faith. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. There, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. That is faith. That believing, putting my trust in that is faith. And that pleases God. My faith pleases God. And out of my faith comes actions that glorify God. Hallelujah. But if I don't do a single thing with my faith, if I don't do a single thing, if I don't lead someone to Christ, if I don't lead a word, whatever, if I don't do anything, God is satisfied with me. God is pleased with me. Why? Because I put my trust in Him. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah. Stand behind that reality that God is pleased with you. Enoch had it, that he was pleased. God was pleased with him. Noah. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Okay? Noah was warned of something that had not been seen. What was that? Rain. Right? Rain. A body of water. Warned of a flood. Warned of it. So he built the ark by faith. Right? And by faith he became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Okay. These things are, we have them by faith. And then the rest of the chapter is about person after person after person after person who lived by faith. And in living by faith, they lived differently. And in living by faith, they overcame. And maybe it says that some were fed to the lions, some were sawn in half. Yes, maybe in time it didn't look great. But in eternity, it was sure. And that was everything. Right? We can read in Fox's Book of Martyrs, which I recommend. It's a great book. I mean, it's a sobering, right, to read it. But the testimonies of these people who were martyred for their faith and what they believed. They would say, now's your option. You can either deny your faith or you can go be burned at the stake. And some people just say, lead me to the stake. One guy, they were tying to the stake. He says, you don't need to tie me here. Like, I'm not giving up my faith. I think it was Polycarp one day, he was threatened with it, and they said, but if you recant your faith, if you give up your faith, then you'll be saved. And he said, I have, for 86 years, I have trusted in this Christ, and he has kept me from everything. Why would I deny him now? Isn't that beautiful? This is the kind of faith that I want. Where does this faith come from? It comes from Christ. We have it. You have faith. You have it. Hallelujah. You have it. You have this type of faith, and you can stand behind it, and it will guard you and protect you. We could go on and on and on. Right? On and on and on. We could go through Judges. We could go talk about Abraham. Brian read in the beginning, Abraham. Abraham, he did not stagger at the promises through disbelief, but instead he had faith. He had faith. There's a lot of things visibly that don't make sense. Like Abraham and Sarah. Abraham's 100 years old. Sarah's 90 years old. They're going to have a baby. It's a good one. It's a good one. Doesn't make sense. I didn't ask you if it made sense. I asked you if you would believe it. God calls us. He says, you are worthy. I don't believe that I'm worthy. I didn't ask you if you thought it was a good idea for me to save you. I asked you if you would believe that I've saved you. I've forgiven you of all of your sins. You don't know how many there are. And he would answer back to us, no, you don't know how many there are. And I've forgiven even those. Right? Do you believe it? And when I stand behind that shield of faith, I am so safe. Imagine, on the one side of the shield, there is war. There are fiery darts. There is like the marks, right? Like the char marks from the arrow hitting. But inside the faith, inside the shield, what is there? There is peace. And there we could have a total shelter from all of these attacks. We have it. We have it. Your faith is enough. And we could look at someone else and we say, I wish I had faith like them. No. You have faith like you. And if you continue to live by faith, just live by faith and you'll see that God will do great things. It's amazing. It's amazing. Isaiah 54:17. Does anybody know it? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Is that amazing? No weapon shall prosper. Okay, what is the disconcerting part of that message, that passage? That there are weapons formed against me, right? And I can say, oh, shoot. Why would you form a weapon against me? I'm harmless, right? No, you've put your faith in Christ and you put yourself into the arena, right? Yes, there are weapons formed against you, but by God, none of them shall prosper. You are able to quench every single fiery dart of the devil. How? By standing behind the shield of faith, right? And you just stand behind it. It is enough. It covers you completely. And then we stand next to each other. We link up and, oh my gosh, we have a movement. And we are moving forward together. Our faith is moving forward. Our faith is moving forward. The church has not failed. It has. Yes, it has. And there are glaring, glaring realities of that. Yes. But God's church is not failing. We are moving forward. Come on, we are moving forward. We are not victims in the world we live in. We are not pushed off to the margin, but we are very important. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And if we are linked together with our shields up, we will be moving forward, not backwards. We're not fading out of relevance, but we are maintaining our position right in the middle of things. We are lifting up Christ. And we are saying, this is who we are, this is what truth is, this is what we believe, and if you want this peace with God, you also can have it by putting your faith in Christ. This is the work of the church in the day that we live in. Wouldn't it be easy if we just kind of like, you know, turn the lights down lower, take everything offensive off the walls, right? Take the Bible verses off, take the cross down. It would be even be like, okay, we'll just play nice. We'll just have our little club and we'll be nice and we'll love each other and we won't bother the world. You know what I like to do? Like, let's get the spotlight out and just like wave it, draw as much attention as we can. We go out on Saturdays and we bring the message out there. We say, no, Christ is still here. Remember one year we had Carlos carry the cross up and down Main Street? Remember that? And he carried the cross all the way down, a mile down to Main Street. And he said, man, can we put a wheel on this thing? Like, it's kind of getting heavy. I said, no, carry your cross. But why? It was amazing. We just stood there on Main Street with the cross. Why? Because the message is relevant. The message is needed. And if it is not known, like, it needs to be known. We live in a world that is wandering around in the darkness saying, we're good. We're like, I just think you just walked into a wall. Like, what do you mean you're good? You don't even know what you are. Like, we have a message that defines it all. We have a message of grace. We have a message of love. We have a message of acceptance. You want to talk about acceptance? You can be accepted in the beloved. That's real acceptance. If we were to accept simply these superficial outward things, that doesn't help anybody. But to know that you are accepted in the beloved by putting your faith in Christ, hallelujah. Yeah, you got to give up some things. But trust me, it's worth it. It's worth it. There are things that don't come with it, and if you're not willing to let go of it and keep walking and keep allowing Christ to change you, and they'll just fall away. Isn't that amazing testimony? My daughter won Christian Character Award at Camp Life. It's a miracle. It's a miracle because I grew up going to the same camp, and I didn't get it. I didn't get that award. Right? I didn't get it. It's redemption. Right? It's a miracle. I think the last time I went, I had to sleep on the porch. Like, just, you can't even be in. Just leave everyone alone. But anyway, we're moving forward with the message. And this is the message, redemption. And I remember these things just kind of falling away from my life, right? Like without much effort, but because God is doing it. And I am walking with God. The more closely I walk with Him, there are things that don't come along for the ride, right? Isn't that beautiful? How do I get over this? How do I get over this type of thinking? How do I get over this substance? How do I get over this addiction? Walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus by faith. And as you, the further you walk with Him, you're like Enoch. Who walked with God and then he was not. I'm closer to Christ than I am to all that other garbage. So it's not with me anymore. I'm liberated. Some things are harder than others. I understand that. And we pray, and I encourage you to keep going by faith. By faith, you don't have to be subject to these things. You are not a victim. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. Believe it. Put your faith in it. Trust Christ. Trust His grace. Trust His love for you. Trust that you are enough in His eyes. You are everything to Him. And by believing that and allowing it to seep into your thinking, it will change your life. And we stand behind it when all of this stuff comes at me. I think it's Psalm 37 says, when the iniquity of my heels surrounds me. Isn't that an interesting picture? The iniquity of my heels, and I'm closing with this. The iniquity of my heels, meaning my past. What is behind me? We used to have a little dog who was a little corgi. And whenever the phone rang, this is back when we had phones like connected to the walls. The phone would ring and he would lose his mind. And we would run. I would run across the house. And as I'm, he's like nipping at my heels. Like as I'm trying to get there just to make the ringing stop so he would stop barking, right? Or the doorbell would ring, bing bong, bah! He would, and you, as you were walking, he's nipping at your heels. The devil is this way. That he is always there. And he was like the iniquity of my, he is always nipping at my heels, reminding me, saying, hey. We're like, would you shut up? Leave me alone. And how do we do it? How do we overcome it? By faith. The iniquity of my heels, when it surrounds me and it's around my feet and I feel all boxed in and corralled into sin, what do I say? No, I am more than a conqueror. This is the thing that has overcome my faith, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. This is the thing that has overcome. And I take a step of faith out of it and I say, oh my gosh, I'm free. It doesn't come along with me. And the little dog can keep it, whatever, just whatever, do what you got to do, but I'm going to walk by faith in the reality of what Christ has done and the truth of what he has given me and all of this stuff. And when you come barking and the darts come flying, I'm going to be behind this shield of faith and I will not be hit. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you for this shield. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the effect it has on us. Thank you for the body of Christ and the faith that we have here, and that we encourage each other and we give each other a great testimony of what it means to live by faith. And if there's anybody here this morning, you've never trusted in Christ, you've never put your faith in him, just say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't know what to do with it, but I believe that you bled, you died, and you rose again for me. I trust you, Lord. Give me the gift of eternal life, I ask. And if that's your prayer this morning, just raise your hand. We'll pray with you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for building us. Thank you for equipping us in your name.